I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the podcast, Lloyd Griffiths. Griffin.
Did he get your name wrong?
Yeah, but the only reason being is because I've got him saved in my phone.
Oh, my God.
Griffiths.
But it is a thing for you, isn't
it? Yeah, it does me head in. It's like one of your fucking closest mates calls you Griffiths on a podcast. So it's now like that's when, you know, like I spend my whole time going, mate, it's Griffiths, Griffith. And then you've basically just put, you're on the side of the Griffiths now. I'm like, mate, you're not helping me here.
But it's a thing, loads of people make the mistake though, it's not just me.
Yeah, I know, but you wouldn't get Ramesh Ranganathan's name wrong, would you?
Ramesh Ranganathan's is.
No, you wouldn't, you know what I mean?
No, yeah.
I do keep saying that, and I probably should get over it, but it is a bugbear. So what's overrated for me is people getting people's names wrong.
Yeah. Well, I've had that all my life though, because people say Thomas Tegoose or Tegoose or Tequoise.
Do you know one thing I like about your name? Is because obviously most people know you as Tomo, but I know the level of how someone knows you by what name they use for you. Tommy. So if someone goes, oh yeah, I work with Tommy, I'm like, yeah, you don't know
Tomo.
You
don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's so all funny. Down to the Grimsby Telegraph, I think, because it's, particularly in Grimsby, because for some reason when they first did the their first news article, when This Is England came out, they said, like, oh, local kid Tommy Tegoose. So now everyone in Grimsby, if I'm walking down the street and someone shouts Tommy, I know that they don't know me. Obviously, you know me as Tommy and everyone knows me as Tommy.
It's funny, isn't it? Because then you kind of, it's that association. And I think you'll notice as well, like, so for example, my mum probably called you Tommy at first. And now
your mum still does call me Tommy.
Does she?
Yeah, but it's too... It's in too deep.
My mate's dad, Tom,
calls me Tommy all the time. And it was only like, I've known Tom since I was probably 12, 13. And he's called me Tommy all along and I've just let it slip. And then I'd had a couple of pints in the Cricks the other week in Grimsby. And I said to him, I was like, Tom, I said, I know you call me Tommy, but my name's Tomo. And he was offended that I'd never picked him up on it before.
Like, why don't you put me in the magic circle?
Yeah, well, like, why are you not in on that?
Does it, like, massively bother you? Because I get it with Andy and Andrew all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, it's one of them where some people go, sorry, is it Andrew or Andy? And I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but with your two, like, at least their names, you know, it's like Thomas.
Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy. Griffiths isn't...
Yeah, and then you just add in a letter on mine. And it's like, it's just easy to remember it's not got an S. And then also, like, Lloyd... This isn't my overrated subject, by the way.
People call you Lloydie.
Some people call me Lloydie. Some people call me Lloydo.
A nickname.
Yeah, some people call me Lloydie. I don't mind Lloydie, but yeah.
Lloydie came from Soccer AM. Was it?
Yeah.
Bullard called
you. Jimmy used to call me Lloydie. Well, a lot of people call me Lloydie in the past, and then like a few people call me Lloydo.
Lloydo.
All right, Lloydo.
Australian.
Many. Two girls that I dated called me Lloydo, and like pretty much no one else has. It's like
really, yeah I've never heard anyone refer to you as Lloydo.
Yeah, it's usually bedroom talk, mate. and then Griffith. Yeah, so you can spell it Lloyd is L-L-O-Y-D, but oh my God, the different variations I get is absolutely like, is ridiculous. I know, you always pull me up whenever I put a cup on Instagram, like going, oh, look, spelled it wrong again. He's like, you know why they're doing it, mate? It's free publicity. I'm like, I don't think Starbucks going, do you know what we're going to use for free publicity? It's a little fat bloke from Grimsby called Lloyd.
Hey, mate, you're over the 120k nearly on Instagram, aren't you? Nah. That's good publicity, mate. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's 112. Yeah. But yeah, it does get to me a little bit actually, because it's like, it's just so look at it. It's like, I know this sounds mental, but like, it just to me, especially like when you're working in TV and stuff.
Yeah.
If they don't spell your name right, you're going, you obviously don't give a shit.
Because I saw recently you were shooting, was it Ted Lasso or Nolly? They'd got your name wrong on a trailer, and
no, that wasn't that. It was a different one that I think I was just doing a day on.
Yeah.
On something where you're like, this is quite in Turkey, but if you're like in the top 20 or 30 on the call sheet, they respect you. You know,
Andy
mean?
Wouldn't know, but yeah. Oh, to
wow. Andy wouldn't know. Andy wouldn't know.
Oh, God, this is personal. Oh, that really hurt him. That really
I was always
hurt
like number four on This Is England.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Four or five. Like,
what were you?
I got shifted.
What was
down.
He?
I was number one for the film, but then I think Vicky McClaw was number... And then I was like number three or number four for the series.
You were number one for the film?
Yeah.
Mate, imagine being number one. So... Hi guys.
Yeah, but I was
for this is because like a lot of, I found it fascinating, and also as well because we've not had proper TV kind of like acting, like, you know, from the start. This is what you do. This is what you do.
No, we don't.
I just didn't understand what people going. What number are you going? Well, you're on about what number, man.
Yeah.
So basically, you get a call sheet, don't you?
Yeah.
And then on that call sheet, what number you are, like the lower the number, like essentially
lower
down
the pecking order,
the less in. Poor. Not
oh, no,
poor.
No, sorry, the lower the number, as in like number one. Oh, yeah, two, yeah, sorry, yeah. So, like the lower the number, like the more, well, the biggest talent you are. Yeah, so, on This Is England, you
or
were like the
not,
biggest.
Is it not who, how much you're in it? Like,
I don't think so.
It's a bit of both. I think it's a bit of both, but then it's also, it's a massive thing that agents battle out.
Yeah, my agent said to me loads of times, like, oh, we've done this, and single name credits is another thing on the screen. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't care. I'm not
bothered. The walk in, and my agent rang me up and was like, like, because the scripts on that were like tight, like no one could see him apart from like the actor. So my agent hadn't even seen him, and like she was like, "Are you in it like enough to get like a single like name credit?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think so. It's like this guy's story." I didn't have a clue that was like a thing that you battle out for.
Stevie Graham was number one.
He was, yeah, he was.
I think
obviously.
Stevie Graham.
You're not going to
be
on a set with
Stephen.
Yeah. Well, you were on a set with Stephen and were above him, so you know.
Yeah.
But then that was at the start of Stephen's career.
Yeah.
So then it becomes a situation where it's how much you're getting paid and how good your agent is to get you higher up that thing. But
just going on that though, I've just worked with Shane Meadows again. I'll just get that name. I've just worked with Shane Meadows again, and he doesn't do the number one. So Michael Socker, who's a guest on the podcast, he was the lead, very much the lead. It was David Hartley's story. He was David Hartley, but he was number 13, and I played his brother. It was maybe arguably the second, third lead.
Yeah.
I was number 9, and then some. It was a first time actor. I think her name was Stevie Binns. I think who was number one. She'd never acted before, and she was number one on a call sheet.
And was it alphabetical?
No. It was just because Shane didn't want that sort of hierarchy.
Yeah.
Who feels more important? Yeah. Who's worked the most? So
I think you're seeing more of that in, you know, this.
I think
this
it's the right
age.
Way to do it.
Yeah. But also at the same time, it doesn't matter. You're all humans.
Yeah,
you're all
exactly.
Right.
Like, you're all...
Yeah, but please do get your name right.
After this podcast, I'll change your name.
Thank you, mate.
He's just going to change it to like 20 though. Just number 20.
LYOLYD. That'll do, mate.
Is it spelled LLYOD though? Isn't it? Or is it LLOYD?
LLOYD? Lloyd?
You got to think, mate. I never went to school, so no, it's nothing against
you.
You
can't keep using that for every excuse. Sorry, officer, I didn't go to school. Yeah, but you just drive on the right-hand side of the road, mate. With your knob out.
But anyway, so that this obviously wasn't the subject. This was
a minor gripe, yeah.
Weirdly, after the subject that you told me on the phone the other week,
yeah,
I'm seeing it a lot.
Yeah,
like a lot recently. But if you want to tell the audience what,
so
you...
what I think is overrated, and actually to point out, it really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Pianos in public spaces. Oh,
just them
my
being
God.
There, or what? Just pianos in general.
There's a lot. So them being there, okay, just annoys me.
It's wasted space.
It's not wasted space. I see it and I'm like, I know what's going to happen soon. And what will happen is some knobhead will just turn up and start playing chopsticks or like something that they're not classically trained, and that is fine. And right, don't get me wrong, like being a working class lad from Grimsby, you know, who two of us like play golf now, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? Which is, I think, quite an elitist sport. I think barriers need to be open for a lot more things, you know what I mean? Mm. Be it golf, playing the saxophone, do you know what I mean?
Don't you motor racing,
say again.
You sing opera as well.
Exactly,
right?
That's quite, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is why it's so such a complex story. Actually, so I think that we do need to have access to more musical instruments for people and more access to peripatetic music teachers, but just not in train stations. Do you know what I mean? Like you go in, you imagine like there's been like a driving range in like Waterloo. And you're going, well, what are you doing? Yeah, yeah, if you want to play golf, yeah, but you've got to play it in front of everyone. And I'm like an absolute twat. You go, no, just do it in here. Like, you know, so I can't play the piano. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'm putting this in
here. You want to get on there and have a little
chat. I want to get on there, yeah. But
can you play the piano?
No, I can't. And it's annoying because I've got a degree in music. And right, like, okay. I literally am a classically trained singer, but I can't play the piano, and it annoys me. I've got a problem with my fingers. I've got a number of problems with my fingers. Just they don't move polyphonically.
This is sort of like
so they won't move independently of each other.
Is that like a hand-eye coordination thing?
It's a little bit, yeah. It's quite common when people try and learn the piano where it's like, oh, actually you can't move them. So I can do like hymns, like chords. I could be able to like get chords and stuff. But,
yeah. What about playing a guitar? Have you ever tried that?
I imagine
that'd be the same, right?
I've recently started to try and learn that, and the guy who's teaching me, he was saying that the things that I'm doing is very natural. He said that some people who he's had playing guitar before, they just can't move their fingers in certain ways, and also the rhythm with your drumming and stuff. So
well, yeah, there's a bit of that, and so I'd probably be able to play like chords, but I wouldn't be able to do like lead guitar where you're doing your fingers. Yeah. Are moving differently at the same time.
Do you think with more training though you would? Like if
potentially,
you,
yeah. If I probably put my mind to it.
Like say for argument's sake, Spielberg rings and says, "Right, Lloyd, I've got this job, but it requires you to play the piano."
I'll say, "What number am I?"
Yeah, what number on the call sheet?
What number on the call sheet?
Give me figures.
If I needed to, I probably would do. Like I always said, if I had like 3 or 4 months just doing nothing, I'd learn the piano, and then I had lockdown, and I was like, "Well, I live on the fourth floor." In a flat in London, I mean, I'm not casting up a piano. I struggled to get groceries, let alone
I've stayed at your house obviously loads of times. Yeah. And like,
for free.
For free. When me and Charlotte come down to London and she says, "Oh, where are we staying?" I go to Lloyd's. She's like, "Oh, them stairs." Tackling them with a litre of gin on board.
Say again.
What floor are you on?
Fourth floor, no lift.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah.
House flat built in 1904, so it's like it's annoying. So the things that I can play the saxophone, do you know what I mean, the clarinet,
really,
yeah. Oh, that's but that's where your fingers are moving all at the same time. Right, do you know what I mean? So you're all, your fingers and that are all on board, going right. We've all got to do this together. So piano, I can't. So I guess I'm jealous a little bit that I can't play the piano, but it annoys me because these pianos in public places, I'm like, I don't know what they're thinking of, do you know what I mean? I don't know what, when they're put in public places, I get it, like, oh, we're just trying to spread joy. And you're going, occasionally you might spread joy. But I'm like, I just don't, it just annoys me.
Because I mean, how much of the population can play the piano to it? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you've got a busker there, who's genuinely, not with the piano, if there's a busker there playing whatever instrument or singing or whatever, that is kind of spreading a bit of joy and it's nice. But like you say, like, it'd be interesting to know what, like, percentage of the population can actually play the piano to warrant one being there to be it'll get used regularly to a good standard.
And I think you've got various different people. You've got your busker who will play, who knows how to play, your pot boilers, you know what I mean, like your decent tunes. And then you'll have, like, a classically trained pianist that every now and then will just play the piano, but we'll have a mate filming it. Then all of a sudden, like, this classically trained musician just turned up at St Pancras Station and started playing.
A lot of people, like a lot of like big stars now, like you see people like Lewis Capaldi, or I think London Grammar, the lady from that, I think she's turned up, and they've done it, like you say, for promotion. But like, on the off chance of that happening, do you think you'd enjoy that? Say for instance, Adele goes, right, from the promotion for my new album, I'm going to sit in. There's one in St Pancras, isn't there, piano?
There is, yeah.
If she sits there and you just happen to walk by and Adele is sat there playing the piano,
yeah.
Do you still go, that should not be there, or do you go, I'm glad that's there now?
I'm like, it's fun for a few people.
Yeah.
Because they see it, they're like, oh my God, Adele. But if Adele was an M&S, you'd still have that sensation. Do you know what I mean?
Would you stop and listen and put a video onto your Instagram of Adele playing the piano and singing in St Pancras?
Probably not.
You wouldn't?
No, I'd be like, pianos need to be banned. Pianos need to be banned. This is why.
So it is specifically...
Can she play the piano?
I don't know. Elton John, let's say them for arguments.
Okay, Elton John.
I mean, if Elton John wrote someone playing the piano, you'd listen to that, wouldn't you?
Of course you would.
How often are you going to see that, I guess?
Just to let you know, that is not happening.
Okay? No, it's not. It's never hypothetically.
I reckon Elton John's played a piano in public.
100%
Yeah, he does massive shows all the time. Sold out the Dodgers Stadium and shit like that.
No, what I'm saying, in a public place, is it? Yeah, like in a train station.
Yeah, I mean, but then for me, it's just then it's staged.
Yeah,
I know that he's like, a concert stage. I get that.
You're paying for that.
I don't know what the word is I'm like looking for. It's just naive. Do you know what I mean? He's like going, oh, like it just annoys me. I go past, and I was at Brighton Station years ago. I remember like walking in. I just had a gig, and it was like a Friday or Saturday. Like the gig was obviously it's a Friday or Saturday night, so sometimes it's a little bit on the old tough side. And then I basically walked in to Brighton Station, and there's some pissed up bloke playing Hey Jude, and the whole station singing. And I was like, no. I want to buy a gun.
See, I quite like that idea, though.
Oh, you do my head in.
Especially after a drink.
Yeah, but you, yeah, exactly. If I was going to say, you are a bit of a lout when you piss, so you wouldn't try a bit
if
of
I'm,
that. But...
Even with Charlotte, if I'm out in King's Cross and someone's singing Hey Jude and doing it on the piano, like, I would have my can of Carlin in the air, my arm round Charlotte, giving it some.
I think you would. If we was out,
we would get involved.
No, you're wrong. That's not how it... No.
So it's just a problem. Was the person playing Hey Jude, was they good on the piano?
It was fine. It was absolutely fine.
And that wasn't staged.
I just think that also as well, you're doing, like, not everyone wants to hear the piano in public as well. Like, you're going, oh, that's fine for you. But again, I'd love to see the percentage of people that, like, there's so many people who just sat there going, I don't want to hear Hey Jude. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like in the between the 30s and 60s, they used to be like, probably before that, used to be pianos in pubs. And like there'd be like a woman that would, or a man that would go and play on the piano, and they'd do like boozing, you know.
Yeah, drinking songs.
That. I don't mind.
Yeah, because you're in a pub.
You're in close space. You buy into it. Do you know what I mean? Do you want to go to the Nag's Head? Why? Doris is doing the classics. Not a problem. I'll have a boiled egg, maybe some pork scratchings and a pint of mild. Do you know what I mean? It's an experience. It's experiential. Do you know what I mean? You're going, I'm in for it. If you're going, I need to go and get the 10:57 from Brighton, but it's delayed, but some dickhead's playing Hey Jude. And, you know, oh, actually, I've had really bad news today. That's not going to pick me up. Do you know what I mean? That's going to make me want to strangle people.
So it actually makes you think...
Oh, honestly, not killing. It doesn't make me think of killing. It doesn't make me think of killing at all. Like, legally, it doesn't make me think of killing. Imagine this being used in
evidence. Is it one of those
2 years down the line, you're in court and they rock up this podcast. Well, you did strangle him with his own guitar, but we've got proof that
Is it one of them things that once you've noticed it, you can't ignore it as well? Like, you know when people make, like... The lyrics in a song, and people will say, oh, once you've said those lyrics in a different way, they can't unhear that. Is it like that with the piano?
I think now, hopefully, you know, the listeners for your on this podcast, both of them, but pray love bless you, didn't do it. I think now that whenever they see a piano in public, I mean, you sent me a message, you sent me a pitch message.
Well, weirdly, I've got a video. If producer Lewis can pass me my phone,
oh, God.
So it's only weirdly, it's because I say. You know when you say people being good at them, and I understand if people are there and they're smashing away and it's like, and they sound awful and you just want to chill, I get that. But this, so I flew home from Italy with my family the other day, we was on holiday, and I was in the airport, and this guy didn't have no one around him, he had his suitcase next to him, and this was what he was playing. So we'll get this up for the listeners. If you want to have a watch of that.
Yeah.
But like, when you're waiting for a plane and you've got a couple of hours and that's going on in the background. I mean, granted, I was chasing my little boy around the airport and he was driving me mad. But that distracted him. So it's kind of, he was like, my little boy was just watching that and he was thinking, it was amazing to him.
But backing up Lloyd's point though, that's circumstantial because again, that's in like the airport in Rome. You've just had a nice getaway with your family.
Have a nice getaway. I've
this
got
guy comes and plays that.
No.
Like again, if you were like in Waterloo Station at 9:30 in the morning after just doing a 12-hour shift in a hospital or something, someone's jamming away, you'd be like,
yeah, but there's a difference between jamming away and just it being...
I mean, that was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
It was fine.
So you don't mind that?
As in, it wasn't beautiful, it was fine. What's his backstory? Why is he doing it?
I did ask him, but he didn't speak English.
Did you not? Well, then you should have got it on Google Translate. Like, that man's hard drive needs to be checked.
My mate Lloyd from Grimsby, right? I know you're playing, but he thinks
Griffiths.
What you're doing...
Well, no,
never heard of him. Yeah. He thinks that what you're doing is overrated, but...
I do think it is a little... Obviously, you admitted that to it before. It's a little bit of, like, jealousy there. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel the same way.
Jealousy?
Not jealousy, but, like, because I feel the same way when I see someone on one of them e-scooters. You know, when you see someone buzz past you on an e-scooter, simultaneously, my mind, I go,
hard drive.
Grow up, mate. Oh, right, but then I go, I would like one of them, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Both thoughts go... I don't want one, but I go, pretty nippy them, you know, just to get about town, but grow up.
I would love to be able to play the piano. I would love to be able to play the piano in a nice quiet room like this, do you know what I mean?
Soundproof
room. I'd love to be able to play the piano at, like, say, like a nice little concert in a church.
Or
I'd love to be able to play the piano on stage doing my gigs. But I would not want to play the piano in St. Pancras Station.
Yeah.
And I am all for, I think we do need more access to instruments and stuff. But I think it's just a bit like, oh yeah, you got to do it, but you got to do it in public. I think we should have places that are just like rooms that you can go and hire pianos and stuff and just have a little bash away for like half an hour, because I think, you know, not everyone's got a piano.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's but I just...
No, but everyone doesn't need a piano.
But what's that guy's backstory? What?
That's the thing, you don't
need... No.
That's what Lloyd's saying, if it was like youth clubs, but with pianos in, or do you know what I mean? That kind of thing, like where people could go and, right, I'm going to play, or, you know, you could go in the local church or something and just use their piano.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
stuff
to
like
get
that
kind of off your, you know, out your system.
I just think it's, there's too much, just like that video there was like a couple in the background, you could see them like having a food. I just felt dead sorry for them, because they were like going, we don't want this prick, you know, fucking Steve Jobs here, like playing with his like turtleneck, like playing. Like, what is that guy's backstory? Like, can I just say as well, like, I am the biggest dick in the world. Like, I literally have to perform on stage with all the lights on me in order for me to live. I mean, that is literally, I have to sing on stage in churches, you know, like a weirdo in order for me to get those endorphins. But with that, I'm going, why is that bloke gone, I'm going to play that piano?
Would you, like you say, obviously he's a very skilled pianist.
That bloke?
Yeah.
No, he's very absolutely fine.
Penis.
He's
a fine pianist. He's good at what he does. You're a very skilled, you know, very successful comedian.
Thank you.
If, for some reason in, I don't know, St. Pancras, they started putting like a little... I don't know, a little stage with lights.
Couldn't think of
anything worse. Would you be like, oh, I'm going to try out some new material?
Literally, I couldn't think of anything worse. That would actually, like, no, not at all.
See, that is interesting, because when you told me your subject, the first thing I said, we were sat at your mum's cafe, and I said, if I'm Ronaldo, or if I'm very, very good at football, and there's a great example of it in Goal. Can you remember the film Goal?
Yeah.
So there's a bit where a football comes over the fence and Santiago gets the ball and he does a few kick-ups and he does a few round the world and then he shows off a bit and then knocks it back to him. Like, if there's something there and you can showcase your talent that you love and enjoy, like, do you not just think, oh, I'll just get have a little blast? I'm bored, I've got 20 minutes to wait for my train, I'll have a little brush up.
No.
I couldn't think of any. What's all right?
So what if it's not your job though? What if it's not your job? It's just something you're really good at.
Then hire a piano in like a local like village or.
But you've got 20 minutes at the train station. It's free. You don't have to pay.
There's nothing else you could be doing in that 20 minutes. Emailing your mum, messaging someone that you haven't seen ages.
Emailing your mum.
I mean, I don't. But I don't know either.
I occasionally will email my mum. Usually, if she's
feeling something. That's very efficient.
Oh no, but only if it's for stuff like she sent me something. And we're you know, like
Ari, Mother's
Day. What's the last email you sent to your mum?
That The last email I sent to me, mum.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think I'd ever. I mean, you know.
Nah.
Each their own.
I don't even email people that I need to email, like my agent and stuff. I'm all, my agent's had to text me this morning because I've ignored his emails.
So I emailed my mum the other week when I was at her house a script that I needed her to print off.
Oh, yeah. That's, oh, yeah. That then, makes yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant just like rather than texting or rather than like.
Yeah, scripts, stuff like that. But then it's like. Tickets for Grimsby Town when we got to the playoff final. Can you print them? Basically, I emailed my mum to print stuff off.
Just to use as a printer.
Yeah,
fair play. You made it sound like you emailed your mum to be
that
like.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Like, say, Happy Mother's Day. Merry Christmas.
It is literally all. It is just all.
To be fair, I emailed my stepmum scripts to print off. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
essentially, I used my mum as Ryman's. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, you know, it's the performing in public places that is kind of what I'm on about of going, I get it, but it's, I think it takes like.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Maybe if it's like a really incredible classical pianist and they're doing it, you're going, I don't mind that. I wouldn't mind maybe listening to a little bit, but I'll need to know their credentials firsthand.
So if Ludovico Einaudi is playing in St. Pancras.
Yeah, or potentially someone better than him who's actually, because he's more of a composer.
He's
than,
a composer, but he put, yeah.
But if like an unbelievable pianist that just was like, oh, that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who's incredible. He's going to play like a Debussy Nocturne. I'll be like.
Staged. It would be staged.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that might. Cheapen it, because like when you were saying before about like, you know, the hypothetical situation of Adele or Elton John doing it to release the new album, it kind of does make it a bit like, oh, it's commercial now, it should be
exactly
for the people, do you know what I mean? Because like,
so the only time I will accept this is if it is like an unbelievable classical pianist. Okay, he weren't a classical pianist. That stuff that he's playing there, it's too simple. If you're playing like a bit of Chopin, do you know what I mean, a bit of Tchaikovsky maybe. A lovely bit of Beethoven or Bach. Do you know what I mean? Fine. But you're a classical pianist. I want to see your credentials beforehand. I think when I become Prime Minister of the UK, I will bring in certain things. There'll be, you can have pianos in public places, but there will be someone at that piano, okay, who is tasked with seeing your qualifications before you come out there.
And what you play beforehand.
And looking at going. Yeah, okay, let me just check that. Yeah, you can have 20 minutes, okay? And if it's just like that guy with a suitcase and he works in tech, okay, and he did a bit of piano playing at university, I'd be like, can you get into the audition room? And I'd get him to audition first then go out and play.
Well, weirdly,
that's a great idea for a show, man. You throw Simon Cowell in the mix there, you've got an ITV banger there. Saturday night.
Mate, Channel 4 are already doing it.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, there's
a show at the moment. I'm surprised you haven't sent me this as well. So my mate Rob Oliver, Scouse lad who I used to work with, I did a bit of routine about this. I was just trying out some new material. A lot of new material just never gets like, you know, the light of day. You try it out in a little room above a pub or a little room below a pub, and there's this one bit that I didn't really kind of get going, but it was about essentially fucking hating these pianos in public places and stuff. And so Rob, every time he sees one, all right, mate. Rob, every time he sees one.
Michael Sacker's just turned up.
Every time I see these pianos in public places, I like cringe. He sends me a photo of them. And he sends me videos of people like playing them. I'm like, does me head in. And then Channel 4 have started, they've got essentially a public piano like spotter thing. And I'm like, it doesn't even make sense, that program.
And is that going to be like prime time, like 8, 9 o'clock on a Sunday night or something? Or?
I've got no idea, but like don't. I know you're trying to round me up here. The fact that I'm, it's doing well here, Tomo. And I'm not having any of it, okay? Because he's like going, well, just have a classical piano competition. You don't need the train station element.
Yeah.
It's like Britain's Got Talent, but for pianists, essentially. You don't need the. There's so many, like, some fucking shit.
But you will, you'll
TV.
Get that. That's why they're doing it that way, because you'll get that sob story where I could never play in public, but this train station was special to me.
There's an organ. That train station was special to me.
This is where it happens.
I do the same thing, though, with you saying there, your mate who sends you pictures of pianos. I do the same thing with you with wind turbines, because I know they scare you.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I've got. It's not really a phobia.
I can't go past one without pointing. Like with Emily, my wife, I'm like, oh, do you know Tomo's terrified? I'm just like, yeah, because you've been telling me for the last 12
nice
years.
Nice one. Now the whole internet's going to be sending me photos.
Do you know what I'm scared of? Women's breasts.
Yeah.
So
don't send him anything.
Whatever you do, don't send me naked pictures of women's breasts. I'd absolutely hate that. God, I'd cry. So I think there should be someone like asking people for their qualifications
for the CV,
and then they can go a little bit further. If they're not good enough, then they have to go into the audition room, and that's fine. The thing that just to go on to
who's
is like
got time to do this whilst waiting for a train now.
What?
Who's got time to do this whilst waiting for a train?
Mate, look,
we're gonna be stars.
Yeah,
we're gonna be big stars.
Yeah, like again, I'll change a few funds in the government. Do you know what I mean? Like less. Stuff going to dodgy
I mean, most
people.
Of the trains are delayed nowadays, so they're probably a bit more time in there.
Okay, yeah. So, like, but I just think that there's someone whose job, what do you do? Oh, I'm the adjudicator, piano adjudicator. What for? Oh, St Pancras Station. Is like, what? There's actually an organ at London Bridge Station, like a pipe organ at London
Bridge
Station.
Yeah, I remember
saying
this the other day.
And on there, there's like a little barrier, so not anyone can just go on there. Like, look, if you know how to use an organ,
you can go for it.
But if you don't know how to use an organ, please don't use it, because it's like. And there is someone with a high vis that's basically monitoring it. And it's obviously been funded by a certain pot of money, so it's not, it's not...
Because I imagine
like,
they're a bit more expensive than a...
Yeah, and it's. And I think it's great. So every now and then, you know, there's a really good organist, a lady called Anna Lapwood, that basically goes there every now and then. And she, I think she does a lot of, like, playing of the organ at the Royal Albert Hall and stuff. So she goes and practices there. I'm not sure if she's the resident, but she does a lot of stuff. So when she goes... So at London Bridge, it's like, oh, that's fine, because she's literally an organist, you know what I mean? She's qualified. And but I think any Tom Dick or Harry, they're going, nah, mate, just leave
to
it.
Say I turn up and I start smashing on the keys, they're going to be like, move on, mate.
Get you in a headlock, do you know what I mean? Chokehold, get
and
out.
I think, like I said, though, you're going to turn up and, like you say, like I can play, is it Chops? It's the... Which most people can just kind of, do you know what I mean? So you're probably going to play something like that, aren't you? That 10
twinkle,
other people
twinkle.
Have just had a little, yeah, twinkle, twinkle, or something like
but
that.
But that adjudicator bloke, if you go on there without him, he's allowed, he's got one of them, you know, those cigar cutters. If you play chopsticks, he will just cut your fingers off. And then you just got
you'd
no
never
easy.
Never be able to use chopsticks
never
again.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So you'll just have to use a straw. But, so that if you want to play it, that's fine. But you have your fingers cut off. Mm-hmm. And that just to go on to this as well, like karaoke. Like if a pub has got karaoke on...
I can't believe this.
I can't stand it.
I can't believe this. He was telling me the other day.
If I go into like the Swashbuckle, which is like a pub in Cleethorpes, which is... Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
You're listening.
It's a good place.
It's a great place. If they've got karaoke on, I'm like, oh, God.
But you've done what you said, though, before. See, if they had karaoke in the middle of... Bond Street Station, then I'd be like, come on, give it a rest, I'm trying to get whatever. But you signed up for that, you know it's karaoke night in the Swashbuckle, you said if there was more places for pianos that would...
No, exactly what I'm saying is, I'm like going, right, well, this is on me, I've just got to endure it. I just don't get karaoke, like, you know, like Lucky Voice and like Magic Box and all those little karaoke places where you can go and like hire a room and then there's a TV screen, fine.
Just you and your angle.
Be tragic in a little box, but don't be tragic like
in public when you're trying to have a pint.
Exactly. And I'm going, there's two options here. I stay or I leave. And often I'll leave. Sometimes I'll stay.
Really?
Okay. Well, it depends who I'm in the pub with, lads, okay? But I'm just like, why are you doing that?
Have you ever done karaoke?
I
can't wait till we get leather next time. I'm going to get
in enclosed places. I've done karaoke. I've done karaoke on stage with like the horn section in Edinburgh. My go-to is Charles and Eddie Would Have Lied To You, which I think that's a bit like
subdued.
Look into my eyes.
Oh, yeah, would I lie to you?
We're getting into he's doing it now.
Yeah, you're doing it now. Gotcha.
And close space. All five listeners.
Sign up for that.
But you don't need to have gone to school to know Charles and Eddie Would I Lie To You.
I didn't know it. But there's also, going back to the busking thing, there's an auditioning process for busking, isn't there?
What?
There is.
In central lights. So say if you want to do... Say if you've got, a fire-breathing thing or whatever, that's your show.
Right.
And you want to do that in Covent Garden.
Covent Garden, yeah.
You have to go through an auditioning process for that. Oh, yeah. And also for Leicester Square, like, the prime places.
The committee, yeah.
If you're doing it in Dalston Station, I bet anywhere
where Transport for London have an auditioning process as well. So
yeah.
Anyone that busks in stations in London have to go and audition just so that... anyone crap isn't doing it, so you have to go audition. So that's why you'll see the same people. They have a permit. There's a little space for busking and stuff, and I don't mind that. Do you know what I mean? Because I've gone.
There's nothing better than sitting in a Punch and Judy in Covent Garden on that little balcony
I've
in the
done
summer
that with you.
And watching over. Yeah.
I don't mind the buskers because it's like, you know, I know I'm friends with a few street performers who have turned to comedy or gone from comedy to street performing. I don't mind that because that's like it's a spectacle. It's it's a show. You know it's going to happen, but they've been auditioned, and that's going back to my bit.
Yeah,
though, like the piano
like
thing
it.
Is like just this like having a piano. Like, fuck off. You know what I mean? Just like.
Would stand up comedy ever work as a busk, as it were?
No, it'd be the worst thing in the world.
Could you imagine?
What to sell out of the Punch and Judy? Mind you, I guess so because you've got
stand up comedy only works in very specific locations and conditions. Like the idea of doing stand up anywhere but a place that is built specifically for stand up, it just doesn't work.
So what's your thought? Because I know you've done arena tours, haven't you? With you've sold out Wembley Arena.
There's a few technicalities, but yeah. The Wembley Arena sold out is, you know...
Do you prefer... Is that made for comedy? Or is that made for, like...
It absolutely can be. And that's, you know... Also, you've got to realise it's economy of scale. Like, the person I was supporting, they're so popular that you can't... You know, you can't do a 3,000 theatre every night because you'll be doing it forever in order to reach the same amount of people... You know, that you can do for 10 to 15,000 people every single night. So it is economy of scale. Some people prefer the arena shows, some people prefer the theatre shows. So it is, comedy works in very specific circumstances and absolutely would not work. Like,
is it the place or the people or that? Because obviously, like, for instance, I've been to like comedy nights in like a local pub and they don't always work, but that's more. Most of the people there bought a £5 ticket to go in and watch comedy, but you've still got the regulars who are moaning and popping up, shouting things. And obviously, in a pub, there's more drink involved than a theatre.
Yeah, potentially. So with comedy, like you need it to be a specific location that is made for comedy. So like comedy clubs work really well. Like in Grimsby, we've got the Docs Academy upstairs, which works perfectly for comedy because, you know, the stage, the lighting.
It also works really well for live music as well.
Also, but you have to change certain things and what have you. If you're just, again, in a pub sometimes isn't like, you know, great for comedy because, as you say, you've got locals like, it's my pub, what the fucking hell's doing here? You know, people just built a comedy club around them. Like, I just don't want to fucking drink me mild and chat shit. And you go, okay, yeah, sorry. So... The audience, I think, is if you've got a location that basically is built for comedy, that's great. And it is all down to, like, temperature, room height, do you know what I mean, lights. And then the people are, on, you know, you put the people in at the end. So, But yeah, it's very specific. It's yeah.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer doing it in like the big arenas, or do you prefer like, I know you love Docks, like we drink in it all the time,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah.
Do you prefer doing a gig in a venue like Docks?
For me, like anything 200 to 1,000 is like perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was speaking to someone, I think it was Tom Grennan, because he's just sold out,
dropping
or he's selling out the...
You're dropping them all today.
Drop you in a minute, you prick. they've... There we go. But he was saying that like that leap from going, playing pubs to your friends and 100 people,
yeah,
to then going to your sort of 300-400 capacities, and then you sort of go to the O2s, the O2 academies,
1,500.
Like, yeah, or sometimes like in Sheffield or Manchester, you get a couple of thousand. Yeah, yeah. But then from that to...
Well, then you go...
There isn't really an in-between.
Well, then you go in like... Then you're looking at like Brixton Academy, Kentish Town Forum, Ali Pally.
Yeah.
And then it's arenas, yeah.
Like I say, because there isn't really many venues that are sort of that. To go from... Because say if you're Tom Grennan and you're selling out these... O2 academies and you're selling 3,000 tickets,
yeah,
but then to then go, right, well, I'm going to go do an arena tour, but then you're going to have to go from selling 3,000 tickets to 20,000 or whatever. Like, that's a big gap. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. But you do less then, don't you? That's what Lloyd was saying, because for Tom Grennan to do them smaller venues, he'd probably do like one a night for 5 weeks, where he could go, right, well, I'll do,
and then some
big
people,
one here, big one there.
Some people choose to do, let's say, like Jimmy Carter doesn't do arenas, he'll do like, I think 1,200 to...
Like the auditorium in Grimsby.
Yeah, 1,200 to like 3,000 a night. But we'll just do it for 150 nights a year, do you know what I mean? So, and again...
Why is that, do you think?
Because that's his comedy. He likes to, you see, likes to be able to chat, bounce off the audience. You can't necessarily do that with, you know, in arenas and that lot. So you kind of like, what was that, mate?
Yeah.
So I can't hear you. He's like, what? So if you're there being able to interact, then it kind of works quite well, so...
Yeah,
I mean, look, you know, obviously you want to be as successful as you can do, and I think in any job you want to be seen by as many people, be it an actor, as, you know, a singer, or...
And yeah, and sort of generate as much, I guess,
as many
people as possible to see you, and then also generate as much money as possible.
But I think then also there needs to be a little bit of a sacrifice going, well, you know, what's suffering here, and it's like, oh, is it the space or whatever, so...
Or is it the comedy itself?
What?
Oh, I mean, no, what I meant was what you just said.
Jesus, he's getting your name wrong.
What I meant was, you said about Jimmy Carr, if he went and did an arena, like, he wouldn't be the same show as it would if
You know, you write shows for the venues you're in as well. Like, I'm in bigger venues now, which is dead nice, because it means I can do, like, little lighting state changes and kind of, like, act out bits and bobs and stuff. And
Have you done that more then now? Because you're now acting as well.
Well, like, no, just just the venues. I mean, whereas the venues I was doing before, it was a very basic lighting rig, and it's like, you've got white lights and that's it. Whereas now we're going into theatres with, like, mirror balls.
Yeah.
So, like, at the very end, I have this stupid song, it's like a mirror ball that goes round, and I have... The show that I'm doing is basically about... A reviewer when I was like 16 years old said, I expect there to be a musical about his life one day. And I was like, wow, I'm going to have a musical written about my life. And I didn't realise, oh, actually, I've got to play quite a large part in that and actually have an eventful life, as opposed to just moaning about getting bags for life or you know, tweezers or me bum bleeding if I've not had enough roughage. it's funny, it's true, isn't it? But then you're going into these like venues and I'm telling this story, and then it's like, oh, actually now I can have lighting state changes and just bringing more value to the show.
Making it more of a show.
And that's what I've had a lot of people, like all the reviews that I've had come through, be like, it's a show, do you know what I mean? It's like, not a theatre piece, fucking no, where's a theatre piece? But because I do the singing in it, do you know what I mean? I bring out this little piano and start playing it up.
Do you actually do that singing in your show, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Like your opera stuff?
Yeah. Just kind of like stuff like that, so...
Yeah, some of the theatre, the places that you've been playing, like the ones
mate.
I've seen, look beautiful.
Yeah,
and you played Salford last night, didn't you?
Played Salford last night.
That was
night,
a nice venue.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Where did you play in Salford?
The Lowry.
Oh, right, yeah, of course.
Keys Theatre, So it's like, what, 450?
Yeah, good
theatre,
that.
Yeah, and then like some of them not all sold out as well. You go into new places you've not done before. So,
of course, yeah.
Like Maidstone Hazlet Theatre, like 400 seat theatre, probably had like 250 in there.
Yeah.
So you're kind of going, oh, that's still fine, but next year we'll go back and get it full, and then you have to worry about, well, what do we do next? You put on a second night or
so? What's given the the choice,
yeah,
would you rather go and do like the big arena stuff, or would you rather do that?
Personally, like obviously, if whatever happens, I become like the biggest comedian in the country. Let's not rule it out.
Yeah, mate, it's cool.
Hey, mate.
Didn't seem that enthusiastic, but that's fine.
Oh, mate, yeah.
Then you kind of go, all
if the country is the Vatican City, then you are right.
Wow.
That it's is got to be funnier than the fucking Pope.
Someone's been to Rome in the last 2 weeks. Learn what the Vatican City is.
Yeah, just learn. Like, yeah. Well, I never went to school.
I might try and get you keep mentioning that, mate. And that's not our problem, all right? I'll try and get that into a conversation. Yeah. Luxembourg, you could have used Luxembourg.
Is that another small country?
There we go. But for me, the dream is to kind of just play as big as you can do.
Yeah.
But whilst not hindering the show, and I do like putting a little, so I'd say like 1,500 a night would be the absolute dream for me. Do you know what I mean? But then if I need to, I'll go bigger. But also at the same time, if I need to go back to pubs, I'll go back to pubs and just wheel me out until I'm, shitting myself.
Yeah. Oh, just not that again.
You didn't go to school, did you?
No, I never went to school. Who were the comedians that you sort of like? I think we've had this conversation before, but obviously not over a podcast. Like, who were the comedians that you grew up watching?
So, like, Lee Evans, Billy Connolly.
We had this conversation, didn't we,
Victoria Wood, Dawn French, Jennifer Saunders, Lenny Henry, Eddie Izzard, I mean, all the Have I Got News For You lot. Just remember, like, watching them on TV and then growing up and kind of almost then being able to make your own choices, like Lee Mack, Sean Lock.
You've just worked with Lee Mack as well, haven't you?
I have just worked with Lee Mack on a couple of things, and he's the funniest bloke in the world.
Yeah. Is he funny when he's not being Lee Mack?
He's never off.
Because I found that sometimes that, like, there's comedians that I've loved, and then I've met them, and I've been like, not that funny.
Yeah, me?
No, not you. I think you are quite funny sometimes.
Thank you. I went to school. mate, Lee Mack, he's never off. He's never off.
Because it must be knackering, because everyone just must think, oh, well, he's a comedian, he's got to be funny.
I think sometimes that, like, you just have that outlet. It's just, it's not really, it's just a part of you. You're not performing, it's just natural.
You're just a funny person.
And then kind of got a little bit older and started watching other stuff, and obviously then you're influenced by stuff that you've seen on TV. So, The Office, I actually reread a review the other day. I don't know why I did it, because I was looking for, I got sent a review the other week, and then it, like, one of the Google associated links was a review from like 10 years ago.
From one of your shows or from The Office?
From one of my shows, which mentioned The Office.
Right.
Because he was like quite David Brent-esque, do you know what I mean? Like, Ricky Gervais mannerisms.
How do you feel about that? He's doing all right, isn't he?
Yeah, but you grow up watching stuff, and it's like, you're influenced by certain people, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're a singer-songwriter, who are your influences? You go, oh, this band. And you go, okay, great. And that's not a bad thing. Whereas in comedy, you're going, well, get your own identity.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like I was trying to be Ricky Gervais. It was just like everyone just had those, like, Gervais/Brent mannerisms and stuff. So, yeah. And then, as you go up, there's like an amazing comedian called Daniel Kitson, who, like, no one really knows about because he doesn't do the circuit anymore. He was in the first series of Phoenix Nights.
I've just watched that for the first time.
I can't remember the name, but he's got long hair. He's from Barnsley. He's got the big, thick NHS glasses.
And then
he didn't come back for series
is
two.
Is he the one who my mum told me I'd end up behind a bar or when they're interviewing him?
My mum always told me I'd end up behind a bar.
Yeah, I know you mean. I can't remember the actor's name, but I know what you mean. What? Go on, sorry.
So then you watched the people like Daniel Kitson, who are like the comedian's comedian.
Yeah.
So you ask any comedian, who's the best comedian in the world? You go, well, it's Daniel Kitson. But he doesn't do TV, he doesn't do radio, he doesn't do podcasts. He just does it. He's got his own mail base.
Oh, nice.
But there's stuff on YouTube of his back in the day, and it's fucking brilliant. So you see that, and then, you do get influenced by other people. Like, I'm a massive fan of, like, someone like John Kearns, who's just done the most recent series of Taskmaster, but has won the Perrier Newcomer and Main Award, only person ever to do it. He's going to break pretty soon. And, so you get to see people on the circuit, oh, I really like them. And then,
But
you just keep working.
Well, that's all you can do, isn't it?
Yeah, just keep working until the phone stops ringing.
Amen,
It's not wrong while we've been here, is it? Has it?
It's
not wrong while we've been here, is it?
We're all signed the same boat.
Yeah.
Should I save my mum's email, mate?
It was good to have you on anyway, mate. Like, because obviously we were saying before, like, we tried. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I remember. Lockdown.
Oh, he remembers. You know,
what happened with that? What went on? Because I was trying to.
We recorded it and you fucked up the recording and it didn't work.
Well, we did one before that. Did we try getting you before?
Yeah, I think you cancelled on the day.
Yeah.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. It's never been my fault.
I mean, you was late today, but at least you turned up.
Oh, yeah, now. Late today, but it was, let's just call it 3-1, shall we?
I think I can't remember what it was, but I was just saying to Andy before you came in that, like, I'm so glad that did mess up in a way, because now we're up and running and we've got it all done properly and we've got proper producers and cameras and we've got it all done properly. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to waste someone like you on Zoom where we felt like it was just getting a bit shitty on Zoom. So I'm glad that we've got you in properly in here and buzzing. And where are you playing tonight?
I'm actually on night off tonight, so today's quite nice. I'm just literally just doing emails today, just emailing my mum. And then just like sorting stuff out. I've got a few meetings in Manchester and then back tomorrow doing Shrewsbury, Walker Theatre, Sheffield Leadmill on Wednesday.
And then
I think there's Southend, Pool, and then it's 6 nights in Grimsby.
Oh, yeah, buzzing. And then we've got Brighton away, haven't we?
We have got Brighton
away.
Which
we're trying to figure out how we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Nice one. Yeah, buzzing. Thanks for
coming
on,
mate. This is all stuff that we just chat off the podcast, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Logistics for Brighton away. Yeah. Really. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, buzzing, mate.
Thank you. I'll send in the invoice.
Cheers. Nice to finally get it in the bag.
Another episode down.
Done and dusted. And
another lovely chat.
Another week out of the way.
Hope you're all having a fantastic week. Mm-hmm. Again, another lovely chat. And just nice to be doing the podcast, doing what we love doing, man.
Yeah, it's nice to be together and it's nice to have it all sort of done professionally and comfortably. And yeah, and I think it's really showing with the guests that we're getting on at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think, the more that we can keep doing this, the more that we can provide for you listeners at home, the viewers that are watching on YouTube. There is a way that you can support us, if Andy would like to tell.
I will. You can support us in many ways. One of the main ways being we do have a Patreon account. If you can go on there, it's www.patreon.com/overrateeverything. That just helps us to secure guests. You know, we want to be getting bigger and better guests from London and places like that down to the studio. Obviously, that costs money. And for a small fee each month, you guys can contribute towards that. And you'll get rewarded as well. What kind of rewards will you get, Thomas Turgoose?
Well, it depends how much they're willing to spend. No, we've got so much in store, haven't we? We've got like... We've got the lives coming up.
We've got lives, which
I know
is
we've promised over the
exciting.
Years. Yeah, man. Yeah, I can't wait for all that. We've just got sort of behind the scenes exclusive footage that we're doing, and
got some bonus podcasts as
got
well.
Some bonus podcasts with ourselves and with some guests.
Some of the guests.
Yeah, just sort of. But I guess as the more it goes on, we'll just the more surprises that we'll drop.
We want to have fun with it. We're creative people. We want to have fun. We want to be creative. We want to make some nice content for you guys.
Yes.
And keep that Patreon going over. But obviously, we ain't no fools. We know times can be hard for everyone. Mm. And so if you can't subscribe to the Patreon, that's fine. That's cool. Yeah. What you can do, if you love the podcast, is like, subscribe, share, tell a mate as well.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's used to just going share, share, share. Like, actually sit in the pub or wherever you're meeting with your mates and socialising in the gym. Yeah. And just go, hey, have you heard that podcast? It's pretty good, you know. Yeah, get it on Spotify. Bam.
Play it really loudly when you're at a red light with the windows open.
Play it really loudly at red lights. Overrate Everything, the best podcast to play really loudly at red lights.
There you go.
If that's illegal, we're going to get sued.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.